Hey, soccer friends.
Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes.
I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Jamie. Jamie runs North Texas versus the World, and we sat down to talk about youth soccer in general. It was not very specific to the DFW Metroplex. It was just two dads sitting down and having a conversation about this game that we both love. We both care about our kids for, and we really do have a passion for the game, even though neither one of us played it. And it was a fun chat. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I am Jamie Saylor. My soccer background, I can't say that I have a soccer background. I am a baseball player. I grew up playing all sports and really didn't get into the soccer community until my kids started not liking baseball anymore, which was definitely a punch in the gut because, like I said, I came from a baseball background and my kids were going to be the next Jamie Saylor, but better. They're going to get to the big leagues, and my oldest, he just didn't have it in him. Started learning about this crazy game. And luckily I got to be around some good people and then started this North Texas Soccer versus the World Facebook group, and really it took off how I thought it would because we had done pretty much the same platform on the baseball side, And it's been pretty beneficial. It's been a little bit of a headache sometimes, but at the end of the day, I've really met some outstanding people, made lifelong friends through the site. And yeah, it's just a good community, as long as I just keep my thoughts to myself sometime. I guess that's the best way to put it. Never played soccer, played it on the school ground, but that's about it. That's too awesome. Much running for me.
Do both of your kids, how many, do you said, yeah, I think you said two boys. Do they both play soccer now, or do they stick with baseball, one stick with soccer, or?
Yes, sir. No, both of them play. I've got a 2000 cash. He's with BVB, ECNL with Coach Kevin Smith. And I've got a 16-year-old, Cade, who is now with BVB and Coach Drew Wright on the ECNL team there. So they both gave up baseball, usually, or I believe it was right after the first year of kid pitch, where basically everybody, if you're going to quit, usually that's when they do, because it's just too boring of a sport. It takes a special kind of stupid to play baseball, put it that way.
It takes patience to play baseball. That's the one thing I love telling my son. You weren't patient enough to play baseball, because he gave it up about the same age. He was about six, maybe five, but probably closer to five. He did one season, maybe two seasons of baseball with I-9 or the other coach was. And he goes, I hit the ball. I can only run one base. What's the point of this? And because he would hit it to the outfield, but they wouldn't let him run more than one base. And he goes, there's no point of playing this. And I go, so I went back and did my research. Like, oh yeah, you can run as many bases until they pick up the ball. And he was hitting it into the outfield at 5 years old. So he goes, what's the point? But most coaches stop them at first, or make a big deal about them stopping at first. And he said, I don't want to do this. He didn't complain yet. And then it turned winter, and he already played one season of soccer, and he wanted to try it again. And my wife and I turned to each other, we don't want to do this outside. So he went indoors, and rest is history. He's tried football. Football has the same reasoning. One person makes a mistake, it's done. It's not constantly going. Basketball was the closest he has been to it, of constant movement. And I don't know why. Maybe it's not big enough. I don't know. He doesn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, I don't. I kid around with my wife sometimes. I'm like, I don't know how the heck I produced two soccer players, pretty decent soccer players. And I'm like, my DNA is not soccer. It's baseball. We're going to have to get a new DNA test or something. They love it. They love their coaches. And it's just, yeah. You know, as parents, we're going to do whatever we can to make their sporting and academic experiences as good as possible.
Right. And so did you start North Texas versus the World? Because you said it's similar to the baseball platform that you started. Did you start this because of your boys, or did you start it because of a group of friends thought it was a great idea?
No, I was an admin moderator on the North Texas baseball site for about 5 years. So I saw the growth and really what it was good for. It was good for kids that in certain areas they needed a place to play. Sometimes they needed financial assistance to play. And it's how it is with how crazy the money is with soccer and shoot all youth sports. In general, but so I started it, and I knew it would grow just because I had, at that point, I had known quite a few people in the soccer community. And quite frankly, I was on the Texas forum, and that forum just rubbed me the wrong way, because you had people that could go in there anonymously and post and basically just shit talk other kids, other teams, other coaches. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen from time to time on my site or Foot411 or some of the other soccer sites, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, you know what? I think it was November of 2017 I just said, you know what, I'm going to start this, grow it. But the main reason, to get back to what your main question is, it was that turning point of going to select soccer. We were playing the local PSA. They were on really good teams, or my oldest was on a really good team. And I just didn't know anything but FC Dallas. And wanted to get some, you know, some different viewpoints of different clubs and things like that. And quite frankly, it was a little bit of me, you know, trying to highlight them to get noticed. Because you go to a tryout, half the times those coaches don't even watch you, pretty much, unless you're just totally stand out. Started it, got through the, you know, the first year or so. I think we went from zero to 6,000 or 5,000 or so in about the first year and a half. And I don't know where we're at now, 19,000, something like that. But, yeah, it's been good for, I don't post a lot on there anymore because it seems like every time I do, somebody gets pissed off and calls me names and all kinds of stuff. But nonetheless, I hope it is a value to the other people out there.
I think that's it's hard because there's so many Facebook groups out there today that are always pushing something. And I'm very thankful that you let me post my podcast on there. It truly is a site where you can go ask a question and not worrying about being, I guess the right being clowned on might be a way of putting it, or teased or poked fun of, because so many people are new to the game. I don't think people understand, thinking back to when they were first introduced or when they were first part of the soccer community. Not everyone was born and raised in this game, especially here in the States. And yeah, I had 3 months of soccer. That's all I played in high school. And so when someone goes on there with a genuine question and the first thing is someone poking fun, it's a very quick turnoff. And that trying to have a positive message in the community is so important. You can ask genuine questions and you'll get some smart aleck comments, or someone with the gif of someone eating popcorn waiting for the responses. But I think at the end of the day, if you're trying to keep it a positive influence in the community, people tend to be more willing to ask questions and be willing to accept some criticisms for their lack of knowledge. But at the same time, so many groups have turned into, I want to be a helpful group, and all of a sudden it turns into the complete opposite. You ask a question and you're being ridiculed because you don't know the answer. And it's sad. But I see a lot of questions pop up. I see a lot of positive messages on North Texas versus the world and people asking questions. So with that being done, have you guys been able to foster more of a community and people willing to interact more? Having your own page, you get to see the stats.
Yeah. There was a period of time, probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, that the interaction was a lot more than what it is right now. And some of that is self-induced because I don't like censoring anybody. If you want to be an a-hole and let people know that, hey, that guy's an a-hole. And I never censored them. And quite frankly, it was good for people joining. But about a year and a half ago, I had to say, look, if you want to do all that trash talking and all that stuff, go over to Foot 411. Right. David and them would gladly have you. Nothing against those guys. I like all those guys. It's just, I didn't want the headache. There was a couple times where people were getting slandered and things like that and threatening me for running the site about, you better take this down, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to call the cops because this person is a typical, excuse me for using this phrase, but it was a typical Karen that was just, you can't say that about our team. And I'm like, look, they can say whatever they want. It's a free, you have your freedom of speech. If you don't like it, and this is what I used to say, you might need to go somewhere else. Whenever our first site first started, I was a younger dad with basically younger kids. I was that person, like when we were talking about pre-show, about yelling at the games, kid didn't have a good game, he'd get a scolding, been in verbal confrontations with other dads. I always say there's one person that him and I just did not see eye to eye, and I don't mind saying it's Paul Munson. Luke, his son, is an outstanding player. Paul and Didi are great people, but we were both young. Both had younger kids, and they were playing U9, U8, and Luke was a badass, and he played like he does now. He played physical, and him and I had words, and shoot, now we look back on it, and we're just like, we were freaking idiots. What were we fighting about? When we're talking about whatever site you're on, another reason why I loved putting the site together and seeing it grow is because of all the relationships that I had or still have from the baseball site. I've got some probably 20 or 30 friends that I met directly through there, even though I didn't have kids playing. And I just, life is too short for him and I to be going at one another. Like,
right.
Now you still see it every single weekend, but it's always with the younger kids. As our kids get older, now basically I can sit right next to somebody from the other team's dad. And we just sit there and we cheer on our team. We don't, you know, yell and scream and do all those sorts of things, because at the end of the day, it's like, okay, why? Let's just enjoy the time, because we're not going to get to see them play. They may go to college, they may not. And it's tough to understand that as having a younger kid and thinking he's the next Messi or, you know, Ronaldo or whatever, because everybody does. Just, I thought my first kid was going to be the next Ken Griffey Jr. or Jamie Saylor.
I always find it funny because if someone says something, it's like I'm going to go back and I'm outing myself on my bad parent behavior this weekend. My 6-year-old daughter, we're sitting at the game and they kept on doing indirect free kicks for everything. And they did their indirect free kick and the parents on the other side yelling, saying they have to double touch it. And the rules just states it has to touch someone else. It doesn't have to be their own teammate. It just has to touch someone else. So kick it at the goal. And if it doesn't hit someone else, it doesn't count. And you pull it out and they get a free kick out of it. Another indirect free kick goes to the other team. And I'm like, and the parents yelling at the ref and yelling at the kids, like it has to touch someone, because everyone goes up and taps the ball. And I always find it comical because the ball just has to move. It just has to hit someone else. It doesn't have to be a teammate. Just, I'm not talking to you. I go, but you're yelling at my kid right now who's taking the shot. Because they're 6. They're going to listen to adults. That's where the confusion comes in. It's, don't yell at my kid if you don't want me yelling at your kid. That's the one thing. It's, correct my kid and I won't correct your kid. I will complain to the ref. The ref did go to the coach and she did tell us, I'm not doing a call everything because this game would never go anywhere, but I keep track. I'm a numbers guy and I keep track of how many calls are going both directions for the same tedious things. And it doesn't always add out. It seems in my favor. But you're right. We get so hot headed thinking our kids are going to be this next great sensation. And does it really matter? And at the end of the day, it's like my biggest complaint in my 10-year-old son's games is slide tackles from behind or dangerous plays.
That's like a nerve. That's just reaction. You don't even think about it. And then all of a sudden it just comes streaming out of your mouth as loud as you can. And they're like, that wasn't a handball. You're like, it wasn't.
And 90% of the time, like right after I say, that's a handball.
Yeah. But you got to yell it loud too.
I'm saying like I drive my wife crazy because I'll commentate the whole game to her and drive her nuts. But as a parent, that's the things like we do. We're looking at this as our society and you have a platform where you can truly help people. And parents like me, parents go on there and ask questions and learn. I know that I have gone on there and ask questions because of my lack of knowledge of the game and wanting to seek advice and counsel from someone else, or say, ha, I was right, or dang it, I was an idiot for even having this train of thought, thinking I was right. Mm-hmm. And I will say that you do have that there, where it is a place where parents like me that have their moments of stupidity on the sidelines then go and ask questions or get an opinion. And you talked about creating, making friends. There's so many people I have met because of North Texas versus the world.
People just didn't realize, especially the younger groups, as long as your kid's going to play soccer, for the most part, you're going to be around those same parents from the time they're 7 years old all the way till they're 18. You're going to be running into them at games or tournaments, or just like Paul and I. But you look back and you're like, why? Again, that's just part of it, being at that age. But I really encourage people to interact and become friends. Like you said, you've met some great people, and I've definitely been met really good people, create some really good relationships, business-wise and personal.
And I think going on to a forum like North Texas versus the world, you do have, it's intimidating at first. And once you get a few comments out there, you realize people aren't going to attack you. They genuinely do care and want to share their opinion. So with that being said, you have a baseball background, and how does that compare for all the other parents, since you have, your kids are much older than mine, or 4 years older than mine, and roughly six years difference in age. How does it compare as a parent then watching the game? Because I understand baseball, I understand wrestling, but I had to learn soccer, and as an athlete yourself.
It's funny, me and a couple of parents were talking about this the other night, because I coached baseball, played professionally for 10 years, and I also coached probably for 20 years. From, you start them young at five all the way till they're roughly, 12. Baseball parents are crazy, even more crazy than what soccer parents are, in my opinion. I've been around both of them, and all we did was play tournaments. We didn't have a league. On Sunday, there might be five games that you have to play. The longer the game goes on, or the further you get into the bracket, parents probably are out drinking in their car. It just gets really bad toward the end of the tournament. We always kidded around on the baseball site about Monday morning fight, because every single Monday morning, somebody was getting in a fight, like talking about, little Johnny threw 200 pitches this weekend. I was the lightning rod on that site. I would just call out coaches and parents for letting their kid throw, and not even kids that I played against, not even teams that I played against, but it's a different breed. Very similar, but I would say the baseball people, and I think people that have kids playing both, would probably agree with me. Baseball parents are way more than a handful, to say the least.
My mind, because at the end of the day, I feel like youth sports in general have gotten out of hand. I've watched enough of these videos online, and they all have their craziest. Mine mostly show up because most of my Facebook feed is soccer, and so you only see soccer. Every now and then I'll come across the officiating page and you'll see multi-sports come across. When my son played KYA basketball, we had a parent storm the court over something silly. And they're thinking their little Johnny's going to be the next Michael Jordan. And I'm like, it's funny because I say this about parents that were for basketball, but here I'm the same parent for soccer, so I can't really say much. But it's funny, it's comical, because it's full circle when you're watching it and seeing it go down in front of you. So how do you see, you've had 20 plus years of coaching, you said, with baseball. My gosh. How do you see development then as a parent between the two? Either you're a coach and you can coach any sport. A great coach can coach any sport just because they understand how to teach. It doesn't matter if you can do it well yourself, but if you can teach the fundamentals, you can push them to the next level. Comparing it to baseball, because that's a great example, because most people in this country understand baseball and football and basketball more than soccer. How do you view the game then as a parent slash coach then?
Well, I have always been, I'm a disciplinarian, so I want my kids to be around coaches that are going to be disciplined. And if Kevin Smith, he is a hard ass, but I tell you, both my boys love him. Whenever I was coaching, it was, look, physical mistakes are going to happen. We try to limit the mental mistakes as much as possible. But if you can't hustle and you can't have a good attitude, you can't play for me. I always taught them, I guess the biggest difference that I see is in soccer, you get more position cast, like typecast. Hey, this kid's a defender or this kid's a forward. Now, granted, if you're slow, obviously you're not going to be a forward for the most part. I always taught my kids every single position on the field, and this is at the select level, just because you never know what the heck they're going to do once they hit puberty. They may be a third baseman now, but they may be a shortstop once they reach high school. And I do see a lot of players, including mine to a certain extent, you're now a defensive mid, even though I think they should be a center mid, a center attacking mid. But then I'm looking at it through the eyes of a baseball coach, and obviously Kevin and Drew, and Kevin's got a million years worth of coaching experience, so he's forgotten more about soccer than I'll ever even think about knowing. Obviously, you know, he is going to do what's best for my kid. Same thing with Drew. But the one thing I definitely do not like is I am of the belief that I like multi-sport athletes. I think it's too hard on your body to play a sport year-round. And I really have hated where youth sports has gotten to, whether it be baseball, soccer, football, because shoot, back in our day, or my day, because I turned half a century in next month. But whenever we got done with baseball, we threw our glove in the closet and grabbed our pads. After football season, we grabbed a basketball. And I think ultimately that develops you in all the sports better than just playing it. Now, this is my personal opinion, but playing multiple sports will develop you in each sport better than if you're just doing 100%. Because burnout is real. And it's that saying of, what is it? Separation makes the heart grow fonder, or whatever it may be. So you love it more when you get back. I don't know if that answered your question. I started rambling.
No, you made me think. And so I recently had a conversation with someone, and they talked about mindset and achieving goals, because in order to avoid burnout, some players are what I will call the 0.5% competitors. I'm starting to learn there's different levels, and it's at different ages you'll see this. And the 0.5 is the one that just wants to compete. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be who could spit the farthest. They're going to compete with you, trying to figure out how to spit farther than you. And those are the athletes I don't see getting burnt out. It's the ones that are what the average athlete or above average athlete might get burned out, because they aren't able to achieve their goals or their victories that they need to have that dopamine fix of winning. It might not even be winning the game. It's just being successful at doing a scissors on the field, for an example, for soccer, or whatever it may be. But that 0.5 where they can go around year round, and because they crave the competition, and they don't matter if it's soccer or Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant are the two that I like to use for this example. And they have a different mindset, a different competitive level. And the one thing that was brought up is achieving the goals that you have set. So if your goal is to go have a good week of a good 2 weeks of practice, it's okay to go have the weekend off after your games, or if there's no games, not picking up the soccer ball and doing something with it so you don't get burned out. It is learning how to, as parents, this is the one thing I think I struggle with, it's making sure they're always doing it. that causes burnout. Even if with their own drive of wanting to do it, it's still taking a break. So we went on two trips this summer over two long weekends, and we went to go visit family. And my son wanted to bring a ball with him. And I'm like, no, don't bring your soccer ball. We're going to do something else other than soccer. As for me, that was a very hard thing to say to him, because I love the game. I love watching him play, and I want him to achieve his goals. But at the same time, taking those healthy breaks are important, and learning how to step away so you don't get burned out. But also, like you said, absence makes the heart.
There it is.
Yes.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Same thing happens to sports. When you achieve your goal within the sport, you need to take a break. Why do you think Messi doesn't he probably touches the soccer ball almost every day in some way with his kids, but he's not mm-hmm. actively out competing or training for a few weeks. He's out having life. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan all found time in the off season to get away from the game for a few weeks. I don't know about Stephen Curry. I don't know enough about him, but I know about Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan because they've been talked about the most. And as basketball players, I know baseball players, if they don't make the playoffs, they're stepping away from the game. Most football players are stepping away from, these are pro athletes that need to be at their top performance, and they're taking time, a break from the sport, maybe not physical activity. I think parents have to learn this. It's something that's important.
Yeah, I do the same thing with my kids. Is both of them playing ECNL. We got back from the playoffs. I'm like, look, you're not doing anything. You get off for about a month and a half. I said, I don't want you doing anything. You know, let your body recover. Because I did the same thing every time I come back from my season. And our season lasted from March till September, 140 games, basically playing every day. And I didn't touch a baseball for about a month and a half. And literally didn't do anything for a month. Then I would start the workout routine again. But yeah, and I get some people think that you've got to go balls to the wall, so to speak, 100% of the time if you're going to get to the top level. And to a certain extent, I can agree with that. Let's be honest with ourselves. How many of our kids, I just say, always use the DFW Metroplex. How many of the kids here, and I'll just say the 2010 age group, are going to go play overseas? Less than 1%.
Yeah,
maybe. I guess there's some changes coming down with the colleges. I think that'll create some more college chances, but they definitely need their rest. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying before about playing multiple sports. Multiple sports are good because you're not in that mindset of soccer running. Now you're in baseball. To where, yeah, you're going to run 90 feet, you know, right. Something like that. And it's different movements, which I believe is good. But yeah, it gives them some time off. There was a certain point that I was in the same boat. It was like, you're going to training with Castro at FCF. You're doing this and that. But if your kid doesn't love it, you're just wasting your money. Or if they don't work at it when they get home from lessons and things like that.
I think that's true. I think I was listening to Johan Croft's book recently, and he talks about taking breaks, but he's not taking breaks from playing soccer or touching the soccer ball. He's taking a break from the competitiveness of soccer. He still go out and playing with his kids and working with his kids or coaching or doing something still with the game, but he wasn't actively involved. And I think that's, as parents, we need to, if they want to go out back and kick the ball for a little bit, that's fine. It's just, that's you. That's not coaches drilling on you, me, I'm drilling on you, your teammates. It's just going out and having fun. It's no different than when I was a kid. We played basketball from sun up until sundown. And let me tell you, I was the shortest kid in the neighborhood, and I was probably the worst basketball player in the neighborhood. But I still played. And yeah. It was just something different. And I wanted to go play that. We wouldn't play soccer, but we'd play baseball or softball, like mostly softball because the ball when it goes far, but or boom ball, whatever you want to call it. We make up our own games, but we'd always end up playing basketball. I played basketball with on an everyday basis. Went on to college to go play. It was just a way to fill our time and be active. And I think most of our society is so structured now. It has to be, because there's so many things going on that we forget that they're kids. And I was talking to a physio trainer, and he was telling me that when's the two times you see our kids grow? Do you know?
Pardon me?
When is the two times a year we see our kids grow?
Probably in the off season and then at the start of the season.
Yep, Christmas and during the summer, during a tryout time frame, and then again at Christmas, because their activities slow down and the body knows, like, I'm slowing down. This is a habit. I can start growing again. And I thought that was a very interesting thing. And when we were growing up, I felt like I was always growing, all but during wrestling season. And that's when I always shot up 6 inches or 3 inches, whatever it was. And that's the thing. I think back to my childhood and things my parents have said. It's, as parents, we need to be more conscious of all this. I don't know if we can be if we're always pushing. And I think, like you said, maturity comes with age. It's like you sit on the sideline, talk to the other parents. And I have no problem talking to the other parents, but I purposely sit away from them because I don't want to hear comments.
That's why me and my wife sit apart from one another.
I sound like you sound the opposite of my family.
I say that half kiddingly, but a lot of times I'm like, Julie, come on, scoot down, go over there. But no, it's not, to me, it's not just physical recovery. Every sport, and I come from a sport where it's probably 80% mental, 20% physical once you get to the level I was at. But these kids too, if they don't have it mentally, then it's going to be hard for them to make it, not just in soccer, but in life. Yeah. And that's what you brought up, structure. That's one reason why I've always tried to put, and I say put, because I can't put my 16-year-old where I want him anymore, because he makes his own decisions, but put them with the right coaches that have the same beliefs, the same type structure that I do. And I know we definitely got that with Coach Kevin. If you can't take it mentally, it's just going to be tough. It's going to be tough for you. And unfortunately, we live in a society, and these are personal beliefs, that we baby our kids too much. I call it the sissification of American kids. Again, I hate using these terms, but back in our day, we screwed up, we got a lick. The big giant football coach, he would take that paddle and swing back to El Paso and then come all the way through you. Now it's little Johnny was yelled at school, mom's going to the school board or this and that. I'm like, this has created a softer level kid, in my opinion.
You talk about high school.
I'll probably ruffle some feathers with that one.
I know, I get what you're saying. I remember our football coach in my high school. So I graduated in 2002. This probably happened in the early mid 90s when this happened. They did a cup check. How did he do it?
Oh yeah,
he did it with a hammer.
And I heard stories.
And a kid like ended that up on the ground, and the dad, the coach had to call the dad because the kid was physically ill from it. And the dad asked what happened. The dad goes, good, maybe he'll wear his cup next time. And that was the exact response. And yeah. I was like, I tell my coach, if you ever yell at my kid, let me know if I need to help you more. If you need to, it's, I want them to understand. It's the same with our kids' school teachers. It's one time my son came, got mad because he got yelled at school. And I'm like, what did he get yelled at for? Like, you deserve to be yelled at. And my wife agreed with me. It's not because we're going to take your side because you're our kid. At the end of the day, the coach has their job to do. The teachers have their job to do. And as a parent, if we want our kids to go to the next level, and this is where I find it funny, you sit down and listen to parents talk. And I have been on several different teams now, 5 or 6 different coaches we've came across. And it's interesting because some of these coaches are phenomenal coaches, just not the right moment for my player. It's like, my player's not mature enough for you, or my player does not mesh well with you. And I think it's finding that. But like you said, our players are becoming our athletes. A lot of our athletes are very passive. That might be the better word of using when it comes to
sissies.
What was that?
Our sissies.
Yes. And because when you compare it to the rest of the world, it's like, I had a conversation one night and we're talking about coaches yelling at players. And I was given the stat by a college coach. And he goes, for every time I yell at a player, a hard yell, it takes me about 5 compliments to win him back. And if I don't win them back in that practice, I've lost them for 24 hours. But at the same time, they need to know when they make a mistake, they made a mistake, and they need to live with it. And it's like I can build them up, but at the same time, they have to be broken down. They have to have their perspective of the real world put in place, because if a boss won't yell at you at work, they'll just fire you.
Yeah, and I don't think that the kids nowadays realize that, or our parents explain it that way. It's not always going to be you get what you want all the time. And if you get yelled at, you go to HR and get them fired or whatever it may be. And it all goes back to the main reason why our kids are playing soccer, baseball, basketball, football. In the broad scheme of things, like we talked about before, not many people are going pro. Even a select few are going to go off and play in college. But we're using this as parents to create not only good relationships, but work ethic, teamwork, all the peripheral stuff about life that they really don't even, as kids, know they're getting, but they are.
I understand what you're saying. There's a Facebook post somewhere, I can't remember where, and it talks about why parents put their kids in sports. And one of them was they put their kids in sports because of all these things they list, and those are very expensive lessons to learn through sports. And it's at the end of the day, it's like we're at the level that we're at because Landon's end goal is to go pro. He doesn't even want to go to high school, like college. If he had his way, he would go to an academy right now. Like bypass school, go straight into an academy where you get some formal education, but it's soccer driven. And that is his dream. And it's not us projecting it on him because I would rather have him go another route. But at the same time, for parents that are how do I phrase this? Like my daughter, I'll use my daughter because my daughter on the other side of this is the other side of this because she's trying to find her love. And I don't know if she'll ever play a professional sport or want to play a professional sport. She does gymnastics and soccer. And we find it funny because she wants to play goalie. Why? Because she doesn't have to sweat. But she loves gymnastics, and she does a lot of running and gymnastics. And I, as a parent, it's trying to find the avenue to give them, yes, to build life skills, but also to find a passion. I think if we can have our kids passionate about something, that loves something so much that they want to do it for the rest of their life. Soccer is a sport that you can play your whole life. You can be 80 years old, as long as you're still mobile, out there playing on the soccer field. You can't play American football that way.
Right.
You can do baseball. You might have to use a little bit bigger, maybe a softball, so you can reach the ball if you can't bend over. But those are the things. I look at this as he's learning life lessons, yes. But at the end of the day, it's a route to achieve his dream. And I think if we treat sports like education, and I think this is where parents have it backwards, we treat sports like it's a business. And that's the problem. We don't treat it like it's an education process. And if we treat it like an education process, I think we'll probably see less kids in sports, or we might actually see an explosion in sports because parents actually understand what a foundation means. It's no different than going to kindergarten and having your kids. But this whole Facebook post drove me nuts because there's other ways of teaching your kids club sports. I'm not paying $5,000 a year for my kids to learn life lessons if they're not going to be competitive, and they can go do that in rec. It's $150 per season, $300 a year, if maybe $450 if you're actually doing three seasons out of it. And that's the thing. It's yes, these sports teach them something, but at the same time, it allows them to achieve a goal. And I think that competitive drive is being sucked out of it.
Yeah, and the competitive drive part, that stays with them the rest of their life.
Right.
Through their studies, through their work ethic, and things like that. It's tough to teach those things whenever you're not in a sport. You mentioned Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Their work ethic was unbelievable. God did put his hand on him and say, I'm giving you the ability. Now, whatever you do with this ability is up to you. And that's, you know, obviously why they're two of the greatest players ever, is because of their work ethic.
And I think parents don't see that. They think little Johnny, little Susie will be the best at whatever the sport may be because their kids are playing it. And I look at it as a parent. My child's dream right now is to be a professional soccer player. It's not to go to college. It's not to get a degree in something or go get a trade in something. I'm not just saying throw college out there, but it is to go. His trade is with his feet. And how do you deny that opportunity? I think parents, like we said earlier, it's like every parent sees their kid as the next Messi. I don't see my kid as the next Messi. Cock. You don't want him out there screaming Messi. You want him out there screaming your last name or Landon or whatever you go by when you play the sport. And right. I go, that's what you want to be. I go prove it then. Go prove to me that you're just as good, if not better, than these players that you admire. And that's how I share with him Jamie Vardy's story. I love his story. He was, 27 years old when he made his EPL debut and grinded it out every single day until he made it. And that's when players are declining, and he's there finally getting his chance. And most people don't realize what he sacrificed and what he gave up to be there. And I think we as parents have to take a step back and what are we willing to let our kids sacrifice for the love of the sport, for the love of the game, and trying to figure out what else is going on. Because I look at it as for my son, and that's how I look at it. I don't know how you look at it for your boys and what their dreams are, their aspirations. Is it a way to go to college? Is it a way to just to have fun with friends? Their son gave up playing soccer because they wanted to go to school to be a chef. And they weren't going to go take a roster spot from someone that's fighting for a spot to hopefully go to college. And he was 14 when he made this decision.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Jamie and I had a great chat this week. I broke it up in two parts. It's 45 minutes. Like I said, it was just two dads chatting. Not that often I get to do an interview like this. It kind of turned into just two dads talking. So tune in for next week's for part two. Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.